Akron's lasting mysteries. Four questions scientists are racing to answer. Stay tuned for more. Infection rates with the Omicron variant of the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 are plummeting in many countries around the world, but scientists are still struggling to understand how it spreads so rapidly and what it might do next, especially because the subvariant known as BA2 is rising in some places. Unlike previous variants of concern, Omicron often infects people who possess antibodies against earlier SARS-CoV-2 versions, acquired through infection or vaccination. In the 3 months that scientists have been aware of Omicron, they have learned a lot, but most work so far has focused on the parent Omicron strain or on BA1. Researchers still have a number of pressing questions. In people, Omicron seems to be highly contagious, BA2 even more so than BA1, but to cause less severe disease than other variants. How does it manage that? Studies on this and on how the variant interacts with host cells and immune systems could lead to better medicines or improved vaccines. And lab experiments that put artificial pressures on the virus to see what mutations arise offer hints about what variants might appear as SARS-CoV-2 continues to evolve. The virus has changed, says Salim Abdul Karim, an epidemiologist at the Center for the AIDS Program of Research in South Africa in Durban, adding, "It enters cells differently. It infects lungs differently. It infects the nose differently." Here, the Nature highlights some of the key questions for scientists to tackle about Omicron and what might come next. Much of Omicron's success must come down to the dozens of mutations that separate it from previous variants and enable it to evade host antibodies, particularly the neutralizing ones that bind to the virus's outer spike protein and block cell entry. That means that despite widespread immunity to earlier SARS-CoV-2 versions, there are more available hosts for Omicron to hop between compared with when the Delta variant was dominant. But there might also be something inherent in Omicron's biology that makes it highly transmissible regardless of human immunity. This could be a change to how a person infected with the coronavirus transmits it, how another receives it, or both. On the transmission side, one idea is that this variant creates a higher concentration of viral particles in the nose, so that infected individuals release more coronavirus with every exhalation. Data on this point have been mixed. One result in favor of this hypothesis comes from a study of human lung and bronchial tissues led by Michael Chen, a virologist at the University of Hong Kong. The data suggests that Omicron replicates faster in the upper respiratory system than all previous forms of the virus. Researchers led by the Wendy Barclay, a virologist at Imperial College London, observed that Omicron replicates faster than Delta in cultures of nose cells. But some studies reported that immunologically naive hamsters had fewer virus particles, none of which were infectious, in their lungs compared with previous variants. Other studies in people indicate that Omicron produces the same or lower levels of infectious viral particles as Delta dose in upper respiratory tracts. As for the potential receivers of those infectious particles, Barclay suggests that Omicron's transmission strength might be linked to how it enters cells. Earlier versions of SARS-CoV-2 relied on a cellular receptor, ACE2, to bind to the cells, and on a cellular enzyme called TMPRSS2 to cleave its spike protein, granting the virus entry. Omicron has mostly abandoned the TMPRSS2 route. Instead, cells swallow it whole and it lands in intracellular bubbles called endosomes. Many cells in the nose make ACE2 but not TMPRSS2, Barclay says. That could give Omicron an edge as soon as it's inhaled, allowing it to set up shop without reaching the lungs and other organs where TMPRSS2 is more widely expressed. This could in part explain why Omicron can pass so easily between people and how it so rapidly establishes infections. Hospitalization and death rates for Omicron compared with those from previous variants seem to suggest that it is a weaker strain. But because many people have some level of immunity through COVID-19 vaccination or previous infection, it's challenging to untangle how much of that reduced severity stems from people's immune systems being preconditioned to take on the virus, and how much from some inherent feature of the virus itself. It's much more difficult to have a clean genetic and immunological study, says Jean-Laurent Casanova, a pediatric immunologist at the Rockefeller University in New York City. Scientists at Case Western Reserve University School of Medicine in Cleveland, Ohio, attempt to control for these factors by looking at first-time COVID-19 cases in children younger than 5 years old who are not yet eligible for vaccination. Omicron infections were less severe than Delta cases in terms of rates of emergency department visits, admissions to hospital or intensive care units, and need for mechanical ventilation. In another study, researchers in South Africa analyzed hospitalization and death risk for infected adults during the Omicron wave and during earlier surges. Adjusting their data to account for previous infections, vaccination, and other factors, they estimated that 25% of Omicron's reduced risk of severe disease or death was due to something intrinsic to the virus itself. The overall Omicron data so far suggests to Barclay that Omicron could be highly contagious early on in the infection because it starts out so strong, but it's possible that the viral load, along with the variant's ability to infect other cells or other people, quickly drops as it attempts to spread beyond the upper airways or as it encounters interferon. Omicron is very good at getting into cells of the nose, Barclay says, adding, once it's in there, actually, I don't think that Omicron is a terribly fit virus. The diminished severity has provided a thin silver lining to the Omicron surge, but most experts think this won't be the final variant of concern. There are two likely scenarios going forward, says Jess Bloom, an evolutionary virologist at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research in Seattle, Washington. One is that Omicron continues to evolve, creating some sort of Omicron plus variant that is worse than BA1 or BA2. The other possibility is that a new, unrelated variant appears. The latter is what's happened with each variant of concern so far. With dozens of mutations, Omicron explored more of the evolutionary space than the other variants. Many of Omicron's mutations ought to make it less fit, but it thrives, probably because other mutations mitigate those disadvantages. Researchers can also put pressure on the virus in the lab, allowing it to evolve in the presence of antibodies or antiviral drugs. For example, scientists passed an early SARS-CoV-2 strain from dish to dish in the presence of the antiviral remdesivir, and the virus readily developed a mutation that made it less sensitive to the drug. These kinds of experiments enable researchers to predict how the virus might evolve. Finding such mutations in the lab doesn't mean they will occur in nature, but scientists tracking coronavirus genetics through surveillance can keep an eye out for them. SARS-CoV-2 is known to infect several animal species, including mink, deer, and hamsters. Some scientists think that Omicron could have passed through an animal host to host before it was first detected in South Africa last November. Other researchers are wondering whether it might infiltrate even more species than it is known to and then move back to humans again, potentially bringing new and dangerous adaptations. As for severity, there is no guarantee that it will continue to diminish. Chan is keeping an eye on pathogenicity using the virus temperature preference as a clue. Viruses that stick to the upper airway replicate well at a cool 33 degrees Celsius and tend to cause a milder infection. Those that prefer the 37 degrees Celsius of the lungs are likely to be more virulent. The original Omicron variant doesn't seem to grow better at either temperature. Whatever happens next, these and other questions will keep scientists busy with Omicron for months to come. Most current research is still preliminary, awaiting peer review and confrontation in other labs. After all, researchers were still trying to understand Delta when Omicron emerged, notes a scientist, adding, "We've only really known this variant since the end of November. We don't know a lot yet."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
این آقا موسی بن جعفره.
A person by the name of Isa ibn Mahmud came to Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salam and said, O son of the Prophet of Allah, I lost everything I had in my farm. Grasshoppers ate everything I harvested in my land, and none of them is usable anymore. I lost all my money and all my income.
آقا فرمودن کل درآمدش چقدر بود اگه سالم میموند؟ گفت آقا 120 دینار.
امام الکاظم علیه السلام asked the man, How much was your profit from the farm? 120 dinars was the answer by the man. Then Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam asked his companions to give the man 150 dinars. This is how generous our Imam was. The Sunni scholar named Khatib al-Baghdadi has mentioned this point about Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam too. He says that Musa ibn Ja'far was famous for his generosity up to the extent that he became an example of giving away in the way of Allah. He was a role model of benevolence and generosity. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, www.parstoday.com, Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us listen to a thought-provoking saying from the Holy Prophet's seventh infallible successor, Imam Musa Kazem, peace be upon him. For the steadfast, a misfortune is only one, while it is twofold for the impatient.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Hello everyone and welcome to the light. Let's begin with an artistic spirit. Impressive, creative, wonderful. That's how visitors describe the works of Vincent Gogh, a Dutch post-impressionist painter being displayed in an impressive art exhibition in the Argentine capital. Hundreds of Van Gogh's paintings are projected onto the walls of the gallery. The image bloom and ripple in front of the audience, creating a 3D-like and immersive experience. Van Gogh was one of the most famous and influential figures in Western art history of the 19th century. He is largely remembered for his impressionist style, a break from the old traditional art technique. He is also famous for his turbulent life, which was made for outlandish, emotionally charged paintings. An art gallery in London, Tate Modern, is hosting an exhibition with a remarkable span of surrealist works. The exhibition, dubbed Surrealism Beyond Borders, features more than 170 artworks ranging from paintings and sculptures to photography and films. Works by more than 150 artists from over 60 years are on the display. The exhibit also has a wide geographical span and includes surrealist artworks from different countries. Some of the most prominent artists whose works are being exhibited include Pablo Picasso, Salvador Dali, and Ted Jones. The exhibition will run until August 9th. It is now well-established facts that animals feel, think, behave, and even experience pain. Thus, they should be treated with the same respect as humans, while a center in the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo is doing the same. Life-saving services to injured apes. The sanctuary, located in a vast national park, has been active for 2 decades. The center houses scores of chimpanzees, gorillas, and endangered great apes. Bonobos and bombos as well. Most of the animals that are brought to the sanctuary were rescued from poachers. The staff there provide medical care to the injured animals until they are healthy enough to be integrated into a group of their fellow species.
Students and staff gather for sizzling meat sandwiches as they signal their orders with their hands at a food truck in Pakistan's capital city of Islamabad. The Abbey Cow is no ordinary food truck parked on the campus of the Millennium Universal College. It's fully managed and run by staff with hearing impairments. At the beginning of the queue, a diagram shows simple phrases in sign language which customers use to order their food and communicate. The food truck is Pakistan's first mobile restaurant entirely staffed by deaf workers, providing an economic opportunity for them.
Having the startup here at our campus has been really fruitful. Not only have we created more awareness around the sign language amongst our students, but we've also created an inspiration for TMUC students to look up and pursue entrepreneurship as a career choice.
The project developer, Aisha Raza, says the majority of deaf youth end up unemployed and face inequality and discrimination. She says she wanted to create an opportunity for her brothers to economically thrive. The goal is to bridge communication gaps between the deaf and hearing communities and help remove language barriers. The food truck is the brainchild of a family where both parents and their sons are either totally or partially deaf. Last but not least, the 16th Fajr International Poetry Festival has wrapped up with an award ceremony in Tehran. The literary event aims to honor Persian poets from Iran and the world with the ultimate goal of elevating Persian poetry. Yusuf Jalali has more.
It's an occasion to honor poets and poetry. The 16th edition of Fajr International Poetry Festival saw its closing ceremony in Tehran, where the best Persian poetry works of the year were acknowledged and awarded. During the event, participants from Iran and other countries contended in different categories, including classic poetry, modern poetry, and children and young adults.
I won the prize for the best poetry book for children and young adults. My book is titled Silence in the Mother Tongue. I'm so glad that my effort is seen, judged, and acknowledged by top Iranian literary personalities from the jury of the festival.
Certainly, Fajr Poetry Festival is of great significance to me as an Afghan poet. Here, literary experts from Iran, Tajikistan, Afghanistan, and many parts of the world can network and make joint efforts to promote the Persian language.
Iran is known as the land of poets, being home to many world-renowned literary figures over the centuries, including Rumi, Hafez, and Khayyam. Experts here believe Persian poetry has no expiry date, and not only do Iranians still read ancient poems, they're also interested in modern prose and poetry.
Poetry is a beautiful language that speaks the beauty of the world, and such a language always communicates very well with the hearts of human beings. Iranians have long understood the beauty of this language and still listen to it and read it in its every form and genre.
Fajr International Poetry Festival was launched in 2006 as a platform for Persian poets from Iran and other Persian-speaking countries to get together for the elevation of Persian poetry. However, the literary event has grown to encompass non-Persian poets who are interested in Iranian literature.
Poetry holds a special position among Iranians, and you can rarely find an Iranian family that doesn't have a poetry book in their bookshelves. Now, aside from acknowledging Persian literary figures and poets, Fajr Festival seeks to preserve this long-standing culture and introduce it to the world. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Color, beauty, and entertainment. The French city of Nice hosts a dazzling and flashy event. The so-called Battle of the Flowers took place on Saturday. Performers on top of animal-themed floats waved at the crowd and threw flowers at the audience while musicians played live. Each of the 16 floats was decorated with around 3,000 flowers. Also, thousands of people attended the event. The Battle of the Flowers is part of the Carnival in Nice, which has been held annually for almost 150 years. An endangered Mediterranean monk seal has embarked on a new solo adventure after spending months under the care of conservationists. Four-month-old Evie was released back into the wild on February 15th in northern Greece. Evie was rescued when she was only 7 days old. She had been washed ashore and separated from her nursing mother during a storm. However, conservationists found the lucky seal and started taking care of her. Even though Evie's health was poor, she recuperated quickly.
She was really dehydrated in the beginning, which is very common with pups that separate from their mothers at such an early age. And the first few weeks were critical for her health because there's basically no way to replenish, like to replace the mother's milk. So we have a certain protocol and a food regimen that we provide along with vitamins and other supplements to the seal. And thankfully, in the first few weeks, she showed signs of her health status became better.
The conservationists hope Evie will be able to join a community of her species soon. They will be tracking her movements with a chip. There are only a few hundred Mediterranean monk seals left in the wild. About half of them live in Greece. Entrapment from fishing, pollution, depletion of food resources, and climate change are some of the threats facing the species.
History shows a gun barrel never stops people from acquiring their learning tools. A bookshop in the besieged Gaza Strip is a testimony as book lovers flooded the store months after it was flattened in an Israeli airstrike. The new Samir Mansour bookshop, funded by an international donor campaign, now stands some 200 meters from its original site. It was destroyed by an Israeli airstrike on the west of Gaza City last year. The new shop is spread across two floors and is stocked with some 400,000 books. They range from school texts to the Quran to Arabic translations of European literary classics. Hundreds of people, including writers and Palestinian officials, attended the bookshop's reopening. The store first opened its doors 30 years ago and is considered the oldest and the biggest in Gaza.
The city of London usually welcomes arts and culture from all over the world, including Iran. In our next report, Bianca Rahimi will be taking us to a performance that fuses music from across the East.
A dream has become a reality. The Conference of the Birds, composed by the brilliant young musician Mehsan Marvasti and inspired by a poem of the same name written by poet Attar of Nishapur in the 12th century. Performed here in London. It's a story all Iranians are familiar with, about an epic journey to find the Simurgh.
The Simurgh is to the east what the phoenix is to the west.
a mythical creature that symbolizes transformation. And the story of the sea moor is a spiritual one, full of courage, determination, and self-discovery.
Well, I think it's the first time I've seen so prominently advertised a non-Western musical traditional concert. And I've got a long-standing interest in music from the different parts of the Islamic world. It kind of evokes sort of deeper feelings, spiritual feelings. And the fact that this specific concert is about kind of a spiritual poem, it taps into something which I think a lot of us are looking for, especially in this post-pandemic, current pandemic situation. We're looking for some deeper meanings. So I think it will be striking a chord for a lot of people.
It's a mix of fusion of different music, and that's always interesting. And it's Eurasian music, and it uses different instruments from across Asia to represent birds, and it just sounded lovely.
Even though there are differences, cultural differences between these places and these peoples, and those differences should be recognised in general, that through things like music and art, there can also be synergy, and like, yeah, things can work together as well.
5 years in the making, the Conference of the Birds, conducted by Farnoush Behzad, brought together musicians and instruments from across the world. It fuses Azeri, Chinese, Indian, Arabic, Afghan, Armenian and Persian music, brought to the audience by a Western orchestra. The performance was accompanied by two elocutionists who narrated the story and animated clips of birds and their migratory lives. The art and culture of Iran needs no introduction, renowned worldwide. But young Iranian artists living far from home are always looking for ways to capture the spirit of their homeland and offer Western audiences a taste of Iran. Bianca Rahimi, London.
Axolotls are unique Mexican amphibians at risk of extinction, and many conservation programs are now trying to save these strange-looking animals. An ecological park in Mexico City is the latest place to celebrate them. It has held a ceremony for releasing baby axolotls into their natural habitat, which is the mud. These amphibians are so special that even a number of city officials attended the event. Conservationists say having a clean environment is key to their survival.
I've managed to breed up to 22,000 axolotls. In all of Xochimilco, there are 90 axolotls across 90 kilometers, but the quality of the axolotls depends on the quality of biologist you are. Bad quality water has killed anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000.
Researchers have discovered that axolotls can absorb oxygen from the surface of their skin and are therefore more vulnerable to dirty water and environments. More than 70 breeding centers across Mexico have joined the rally of saving these critically endangered species. Many are even marketing them as ideal pets, but to animal advocates, keeping axolotls as pets is a definite no-no.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah the Almighty, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, salamun alaikum, peace and salutations of Allah the Creator be upon all of you. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio from Iran. This is today's special. We're going to speak about importance of dua and supplication. I invite you to be with us till the end of this episode. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Today, Monday, is the 26th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of Isfan, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, we bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter and fall of verse 24 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu istajibu lillahi walirrasuli idha da'akum lima yuhyikum. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَأَنَّهُ إِلَيْهِ تُحْشَرُونَ.
O you who have believed, respond to Allah and to the Messenger when He calls you to that which gives you life. And know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart, and that to Him you will be gathered.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Unfortunately, we set different conditions for our response to Allah's call. We say, I will become a practicing Muslim after I finish my university, after I marry, after I have children, or after I get a stable job. Let me now enjoy myself a little bit, and then later, when I get old, I'll accept. He who believes in Allah's omnipresence and omnipotence does not disobey the invitation of prophets. Therefore, as long as you are alive and you have respite, embrace the truth. On this episode of today's special, we're speaking about the importance of dua and supplication. Dua is a great tool given to believers by Allah. Using dua, they can achieve great things and overcome many problems. One who has been given the power of dua can never lose hope, as in his hands lies a great weapon. It is man's own loss if he does not make use of the tremendous potential of dua. A surplus of meaningful texts in Islamic books, along with Quranic verses, give good tidings to the servants to be hopeful of God's mercy. The servants should therefore pray and ask their prerequisites from Allah. That's why the traditions narrated by Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them all, have all stressed the importance of dua. It is narrated from the Holy Prophet of Islam, dua is indeed a worship.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to talk about the conditions and etiquettes of praying to God, fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please take notice that, first of all, the rights of other people should be done, and then it comes to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then is really very important, very hard to practice. That is, we have to be so pious and God-fearing that any flesh in our body, any piece of flesh in our body that has any connection, that has the slightest connection with our practices of committing sins should diminish. I mean, it's really very hard. One has to lose weight in the cause of being a true repentant before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another one is being so pious that whatever one has rejoiced in committing sins would be compensated and punished back by being very much starvant in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practicing starvation in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one, I mean, there are other conditions and they are quite noteworthy. One of them is that when someone wants to pray anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to pray for anything to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one should perform wudu, that is a ritual ablution. And then one has to enter and sit in one's place of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain.
In this part, you're listening to a short part entitled Etiquettes and Requisites of Supplication. One of the requisites is turning of the heart to Allah. This is among the other most important requisites for the acceptance of a prayer. This is because the reality of prayer, turning of the heart to Allah, is among the other important prerequisites for the acceptance of a prayer. This is because the reality of prayer lies in the turning of the heart to Allah. So if the heart becomes occupied with other than Allah, of the worldly distractions, then the supplication has not been able to actualize the reality of prayer. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, "Indeed, Allah does not accept the prayer which rises from the back of a heedless heart." He has also said, when you invoke Allah, turn to Him with your heart and then be confident of the response. He again says, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, has said, Allah the Almighty, the Majestic, does not accept a prayer from the back of a negligent heart. A divine narration says, O Moses, call me with a pure heart and a truthful tongue. In his will to Imam Ali, the Holy Prophet says, Allah does not accept the prayer of a heedless heart.
Ya Elahi وسيدي ومولاي ومالك رقي يا من بيده ناصيتي يا أليما بذري ومسكنتي يا خبيرا بفقري بفاقتي.
Thank you very much for joining to today's special from IRIB English Radio. And now the continuation of this episode about effects of dua. One of them is increases knowledge and humility. Dear friend, most duas teach us about the greatness of Allah and His qualities. They also make us aware of our lowly position and our helplessness. That is why Allah says in chapter 40, verse 60, call unto me, I will answer you. those who are too proud to worship me will enter hell. Those who do not ask from Allah are described as the proud ones. Believers are encouraged to pray all the time and for all things, even those which seems minor. Allah once told Nabi Musa, Prophet Moses, "O Moses, ask me for everything. Even the mending of your shoelace." When a human being realizes that he is in constant need of the favors of Allah, this will prevent him from becoming proud and arrogant. It reminds him of his own neediness and poverty.
In another verse, Allah says in the Quran, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord has decreed and said, call upon me and I shall answer you. And the blessings that we have in our lives are due to the dua that we have. The blessings that we have in our lives is because they are because of our du'as and our supplications. And your supplications can transform your lives. This is why, my dear brothers and sisters, we are living in a time where we are in desperate need of du'a. We are in desperate need of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ. Say, my Lord would not care for you were it not for your prayers. It is our prayers that connect us with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The prayer and the dua is the bond that connects you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're able to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a beautiful dua, the dua of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, which we recite and we will be reciting during the holy month of Ramadan, the Imam alayhi salam says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ad'uuh fayujibuni wa in kuntu bati'an hina yad'uuni. All praise is due to Allah, who when I call upon Him, He answers me. Even though I am slow to answer His call when He calls upon me.
That was another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Keep us in your dua and supplication. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Allahumma ighfir li warhamni wahdini ya maulaya afini fi dunyaya وارزقني وارزقني ذكرك يشرح صدري ذكرك يرفع قدري أدعوك وتجزيني بالرحمة والأجر اللهم اغفر لي اللهم ارحمني.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.